Good morning, everyone. It's a great morning. Happy Father's Day. What a great spirit. Well, let's pray real quick. Lord, we thank you so much for this day. I thank you, Father, that you are a good, good Father. And that there is none like unto you. I thank you that you love us like children, Lord, like that you created us, you redeemed us, and you're still giving your life to us every day, Lord. And we're just so thankful today for who you are to us and what you do. I pray, Father, that you help us leave here today knowing that you're our Father, that you chose to be identified as a Father to us, and that you love us more than we could ever imagine. Bless this time that we spend together, Father. I pray that you let us love one another like you called us to. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm not going to keep you too long today. It's Father's Day, and like on Mother's Day, I try to let you go a little bit early so that we can spend time with our families. But we'll recap last week for just a minute. Like Pastor Murphy brought up, we talked about the generous giving nature of God and how we are called to be giving also. This came out of the scriptures in Acts about the early church, and we talked about how they, well, let me go back. A week before that, I preached on living life together. Do you remember that? How we talked about how the early church in Acts lived life together. They didn't just come to church on Sundays and, you know, they had their church friends and then they went out into the world and had their other real friends. They actually lived life together because they were being persecuted. And everything was new to them, and they were learning together, and they didn't have all the scriptures that we had all nice and neat. They were figuring it out together. So they lived life together, and they were compelled and led by the Holy Spirit. And one of the main characteristics that stuck out about the early church was that they were generous. They were super generous. The scripture talks about how they would get property and sell it, and just to give to the needy. They were just very, very generous. They gave their money. They gave their property. They gave their time. All their resources seemed to be at God's disposal. And like I said, they did not have all the things that we have to be able to do that. We have all the scriptures. You got to remember, this is right after Christ had died. Like I said, they were being persecuted. Not just persecuted. They were being murdered for sharing this gospel. And they had something in them that was so deep that they were willing to just give every aspect of their lives. Now, when I brought all this up, I was challenging us to look at our lives and to think about what we are willing to give up and how generous are we? How generous are you? How generous am I? I can tell you now, we don't measure up to the church in Acts, and I'm including myself. That's not beating anybody up. But that's the point. That's the point of me sharing this whole thing, is I want us to be spurred, something to ignite inside of us that says, I can do this. I can do what the early church in Acts did. So we talked about that. Let's see. They didn't have the New Testament to follow. They had the words of Jesus coming through the apostles, and they had the Old Testament, the early church in Acts did. And they were still extremely productive. They advanced the kingdom of God. The scripture says that they were filled with a sense of wonder and awe every day. I love that. I don't know if you've ever felt that before in your life. You should think about it. I mean, I have felt that before in the kingdom of God, especially when I first came to God and we were meeting up here, and I would just feel this wonder and this awe-inspiring thoughts about who God was and what he was doing in our lives, and he was doing something every day in our lives. Me and Jack Redwood, that some of you know, worked together back in those days, and we would get up in the morning, and we were doing heating and air, and we would just feel the presence of God in our lives. People were getting saved all around us. It was just a wonderful time, and I feel like that God wants that to be here again. I believe he's doing that here, right now, actually. But it was just a wonderful time, and that's what they were going through. I said that you could tell what was important to God. Well, let me just go back. How many of you know that the church in Acts is kind of our template that we want to follow to some degree? Methods change, but the spirit of the church in Acts is what we want to follow. Do you believe that? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not going to be exactly like that because they lived in a different culture and time, but the spirit is where we want to kind of get to in our church. But it says that they had an awe and a wonder of God. They were generous givers every day. Scripture says they met together every single day. They met in Solomon's colonnade. And so they were just going there and meeting, listening to the apostles. And it also says that their numbers were being added to every day. So despite persecution, despite everybody being against them, all the leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, everybody being against them, despite their Savior just being hung on a cross, they were still able to just bring people in every day, every day. Do you know what that tells me? That they were going out to their workplaces and something was so attractive in them that people were seeing it in their lives and facing these tremendous odds coming into the kingdom of God every day, the scripture says. How many of you want that to be that way here? Let me hear that again. How many of you want that to be? I heard Cheryl, the only person said amen. You need to want that. That's got to be a desire in your heart that we're going to be adding to our number every day. I don't mean necessarily for the church. I mean for the kingdom of God. They were devoted, the scripture says, to the apostles' teaching and to the word of God. So they were devoted to that. Are we devoted to that? Are we devoted to the word of God? They knew the scriptures and they trusted the apostles that were leading them, even to the point of death. That's how much they loved and trusted each other. And they gave everything. They were compelled by the Holy Spirit to do everything. Scripture says there was miracles done every day. It says the apostles healed everybody. People were being healed in Peter's shadow during that time. Think about that. Do we just put this in a mythical category in our minds? We just say, well, that was just then. I don't believe it was just then. I think God wants to do that now. I really believe that. Peter would walk, and the scripture says they would bring the sick, and his shadow would heal during that time. What did they have that we don't have? Nothing. We have the same spirit that they have. And honestly, we have more knowledge of the scriptures than they had at the time. I want to get there. At the very least, I want to have the same spirit and the same faith that they had in believing that these things could occur again in our time. How many of you know it needs to happen? Do you look at our world? Do you see what's going on in the chaos of our world? Do you know that the scripture says that the church is the pillar and foundation of the truth? The manifold wisdom of God is what the scripture calls you. You. That's who you are and who I am. That's who we are right here. We should be permeating the entire world with the word of God. And it should be effective. And we should be a powerful people under the lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm hesitant to say this, but I watched, y'all know who Joby Martin is? He's a pastor out of Jacksonville, Florida, and I watched this interview with him the other day. He preaches in this giant mega church, okay? 40,000 people per Sunday. 40,000. It's insane. It's bigger than like Disney World, this church is. It's enormous. They have 7 or 8 shuttles that bring people into the church. You start at one place, and they'll take your kids to the nursery with a shuttle, and they'll take you onto the service. It's wild. They've got like a museum in there and all this stuff. I'm not going to lie, that turns me off a little bit. I don't love the idea of big mega churches, but maybe I should. But he said something in this interview that really struck me. He said, there's in Jacksonville, Florida, he said, we have our church that has 41,000. And then he talked about another church, I don't remember the name of it, like Celebration Church, had 22,000. And then he said, and there's another church there that had 11,000. He said, have you ever heard people say when they pull into like New Orleans or New York City that it just feels like the weight of Satan's on this city? People say that all the time about, you know, dark cities. And he said, well, when you pull into Jacksonville, Florida, he said, you feel the Spirit of God. And I just thought about it and I thought, man, he said, we get together once a month and we will have 120,000 people there once a month. And this whole idea about the mega church where I'm kind of turned off, and I'll tell you why I'm a little bit turned off, is because I feel like it's really hard to have discipleship in a big mega church. I feel like it's hard to be very intimate in a mega church. But I shouldn't judge that at all, but that's just kind of what I've always thought. But when he said that, I thought, Christ called us to the nations, to take over the entire world. You understand? And so if that were to happen, I mean, should I be turned off by that? I love that he said that. I love that he said, when you pull into Jacksonville, Florida, he said, Almighty God owns this city. And he said, you're not going to go anywhere without one of our church members or a member in the kingdom of God talking to you at the workplace. And he said, and we're getting people. He said, we're getting hundreds and hundreds of new people every single day. I don't know. It just kind of struck me. And I thought, I'm not saying that's where I want to go here necessarily. I'm just saying that's amazing. That's amazing that something's going on like that in the city. If God told us, I'm going to grow this place big enough where the entire city of Starkville is going to be saved, and they're all going to want to join together here with us, would we turn that down? We wouldn't. We would love it, wouldn't we? Amen. God's called us to the nations. He's called us to get everybody we can saved. And so, anyway, the church in Acts, I believe, had this kind of mentality. They were going out at a deep conviction, filled with the Holy Spirit, and just sharing to everybody. They were scattering the seed. And I want to go there. So we could ask ourselves as a church, are we doing any of these things that the early church in Acts did? So that's what I talked about last Sunday. And this Sunday, today, my sermon is going to be about the Father's love for us. It's Father's Day, so I'm shifting gears a little bit, and I'm going to talk about fatherhood. Not very long. I took too long in my introduction there, but the two points I want to make quickly is that God is your Father, and He loves you. Very simple. Very simple. How many of you in here relate to God as a Father? Let me see your hands. That you see God as a Father. I realized that as I was studying this, I asked a couple of my friends this, and they said they didn't for many, many, many years. And I didn't either. I thought about my own story. When I first came to this church and got saved, I remember that I've related to God, as Lord. And He is. He is just as much God and Lord as He is Father. But how many of you know there's a difference in relating to God than there is the Father, your Father? There's a relational closeness that comes with fatherhood. And it's one of my favorite subjects in all of the scripture. I have three sons. I've loved being a father. So this is an exciting sermon for me. I'm hoping I can get it out. But God is your Father, and He wants you to see Him as your Father, and He wants you to see yourself as His child, as His son or daughter. I said earlier that some people that's going to be hard to relate to. If you had a bad father, you're going to have a bad outlook on who God is. And we're hoping we're going to clear some of that up today, maybe. Because I want to tell you again today, He is a good, good Father. And He loves you. And even if your father was wonderful, He pales in comparison to our Father. Do you believe that? He's as good as it gets. There's nothing any better than God's fatherhood of our lives, over our lives. God chose to identify Himself as a Father. He could have chosen anything, and He did. Listen, God has many, many names. Elohim, Yahweh, Adonai, El Shaddai, the Alpha and the Omega, Lord. There's so many more. But Jesus Christ called Him Father. Hear me again. Jesus Christ identified Him as Father. 140 times in the New Testament, Jesus calls Him Father. There's 250 times in the New Testament that everybody called Him Father. And listen to this. In the Old Testament, the word Father for God was only used 15 times in the entire Old Testament. Isn't that interesting? Something changed with Jesus Christ, didn't it? When I was studying for this, I thought, that's amazing. And I thought about how the change occurred. 15 times in the entire Old Testament they use the word Father versus 250 times in the New Testament. Why? Because Jesus taught us that He was our Father. Didn't He? And what a change that made in our lives. What a blessing that we get to know that about our Father, about our God. That He's not this distant God that created us and just left us alone and abandoned us. But that He is like a good Father relating to us every day, providing for us every day, caring about us every day, knowing all the little things that happen in our life like a good Father does. I love the scriptures that talk about the little things like, I keep your tears in a bottle. That I know the hairs on your head. That I love you more than the sparrows. That you're so much more worth to me than all of my other creation. How many of you know that we are the crowning jewel in God's creation? And He is our Father. I love that. I love that Jesus, I want to just say, you did a great job in teaching us that He's a Father. It's sad to me when I think about, like I said, some people that can't relate to God as a father because of their earthly father. But I remember the switch in my life. I remember praying. Well, I tell you, I used to deal with God just as Lord and as Father. I mean, as God. And there was a sense of fear that was in that to me all the time. I was always thinking that He was just ready to stomp me all the time if I did something wrong. And I heard a great sermon one time from, again, Charles Simpson. And he talks about being a little boy. And he said, I was praying one day with my father. And he said, I was on my knees. He said, my dad would come in every single night, sit on his knees with me against the bed, and we would pray. And he said, and I would always start my prayers with Lord God. Lord God, thank you for this day. And he said, my dad stopped me this one day when I was like 11 years old. And he said, Charles, he said, you don't have to just call Him God and Lord anymore. He said, you can call Him Father. And Charles said, it changed everything. He said, because I loved my father so much, and I realized that this was a much gentler type of love and a much more caring love than I had originally thought. And when he said that, that went in me, and I started thinking, that's who He is. He is my Father. He's not just my God. I want to be careful here. He is God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. He is all those things. But when you start walking with Him, and you become relational with Him, He becomes the Father, your dad. And He loves you like that. I wasn't super close with my father growing up. You've heard a couple of my stories. I'm not going to say anything negative about my dad. I love my dad. He was a good dad. He got really hurt in the church and walked away from God when I was relatively young. But he was a gentleman. He was a good man. But I had to learn who my father was kind of on my own via the scriptures as I grew up. I didn't have it coming from my dad. So if you don't have it, I want you to know I understand. I've been there. I didn't understand who God was when I first started walking with Him as a young man. But I want to tell you today that everything is at your disposal right here. He will tell you who you are and who he is to you as a father. And He did that for me. And it changed everything for me. In fact, I'm so thankful for it because then I had three sons and I knew how the Father was. And hopefully I was a decent father to them and still am a decent father to them. But not only did God show me Himself via the scriptures, but He gave me Pastor Murphy as a father figure in my life. And I'll get emotional talking about it, so I'm not, but Pastor Murphy was that to me. And so God provides in all kinds of ways. If your earthly father wasn't there for you, if he wasn't a good earthly father, God is your father, but He can also send you people in the body of Christ that can become father figures to you, that can help you along the way. And that's what He did for me, and I'm so thankful. He is a good, good Father, and He loves you. He was Jesus' Father, and He's our Father. How many of you know Jesus was our brother? He is our brother. I was thinking about this as I was studying, and I thought, Jesus really loved His Father. Yeah, I never have thought about it like that very much. We always think that Jesus and the Father are the same, one and the same, and they are. But when you read Jesus talking about his Father, you realize how much he loved his Father. And I was going to go over a bunch of scriptures in that, but I think I'm not going to right now. Jesus taught us well that God is to be related to like a father. Let's see here, where am I at? Let's see. Let's see. Isaiah 64:8. We don't have to turn there. I'm going to rifle through some of these scriptures. Isaiah 64:8 says, "Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are the works of your hand." John 20:17. Says, Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." 2 Corinthians 6:18 says, "And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." And 1 John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him." What great love the Father has lavished on us, that you would be called sons and daughters of God. I hope that means something to you. I hope that moves you in your spirit, that you would be called sons and daughters of God. Nothing has taught me more about the love of God, I don't think, in my life more than being a father and seeing my sons grow up and knowing how much that I love them and what I would do for them. If you're a father or a mother, you understand these things. You understand more than people that actually don't have children, because if you haven't raised children, you don't get that depth of love. Although you might could love your parents to a similar degree. When I started raising children and relating to God in that way, in believing that He loved me more than I love Luke Johnson right here, my son, it's mind-blowing to me. That is mind-blowing to me, to think that He could love me like that. And you know what that did for me? It helped me to start understanding that my sins really were forgiven. Because I thought about my boys, and I thought about every time they failed me, and the times that they disobeyed, and all of those things that children do, and how not only, like, was it even a thought, of course I was going to forgive them. It wasn't even that big of a deal to me. I love them that much. I'm not trying to say sin is not a big deal. I'm just saying, love, it just overcomes it all, doesn't it? And when you're loved, I don't know if this is going to get through. I don't know. But if God loves me like I love my sons, I'm in good shape. I want you to know that. I don't know how else to say it. That's about as simple. It's not profound. But I am in good shape if God loves me like I love my boys. And you know what the truth is? He loves me so much more than I could ever love myself. Do you understand that, Sterling? Do you feel that? I feel it, man. I'm telling you, there's nothing that moves me more than to think about the love of the Father in the way that He loves me like I love my boys. They'll never know until they have their own sons. And we'll never know until we meet Him, really, talking about the Father. We'll never completely understand it, but that gives us a little taste. How kind is it of God to give us a little taste of what it's like to be loved by Him by giving us children that we can love like that? We think that should solve so many of our theological questions. Do you know that? All the rules and regulations that we think we got to follow. We think God's angry with us. We failed today. We screwed up today. We had bad thoughts today. All of those things. But if you think about, again, your love for your children and how little that matters to you in the scheme of things, because of your love for me, that should move you, and it should solve a lot of, or answer a lot of your questions on whether or not God's for you or not. Are you for your kids? No matter what. And kids, as far as, it's the same way in loving your parents. He's a good, good father. And he loves us. It's just that simple. Scripture says in Galatians, let's just turn to Galatians 4 real quick. Galatians 4, 6. Y'all still with me? I'm not going to go much longer here. Galatians 4, 6. Where am I at here? Read it from the beginning in verse 26. I didn't give you this one, I don't think, Emily, but let's do Galatians 3:26. It says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights as sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, the Spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. Since you are a son, God has also made you an heir." Isn't that good? So we've been teaching a lot on the Holy Spirit. And that's one of his primary goals, is to convince you that you are a son and a daughter of God. And what he does is he cries out, "Father, Father." He's constantly crying that out within us, the Spirit of God is. He's calling out to him as Father. So I just want you to know today that you are loved by God and that he sees you as a son and as a daughter. And again, just making the analogy of us loving our own children and how profound that is, and to think that we are, again, a pale comparison to what he really is for us and to us, that he loves us so much more than we can ever even imagine. And that should encourage you this morning. Amen. And it should also encourage you to honor your fathers if they were good, godly, earthly fathers that led you to a relationship with God. Not everybody has that. If you have that, tell your daddy thank you today. Honor him and bless him. Amen? Amen. That's my message today. That's it. He loves you and he's your father. Stand up and let's pray real quick. Lord, we thank you so much that you chose to identify as Father. That you love us more than we could ever imagine. That you love us more than we love our own children, Lord. I pray that you make that real to us and that we'll remember it in our times of need and in our times of despair, Lord. That you will remember your great love for us. And I pray that you let everybody here leave today with the thought to relate to you as Father. And not just a distant God who is full of rules and regulations, Lord, but that you want to relate to us like a good, loving Father. Pray that you bless your people, bless all the fathers in the room. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. You're dismissed.